This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to On the Record with your host, Astrum Lux Lucis. All right, welcome to another episode of On the Record. I am your host, Astrum Lux Lucis. This week's guest is a very distinguished actress who's been known for her role as Miss Yvonne from the Pee Wee Herman Show. She's also appeared in the films American Graffiti, The Running Man, Rain Man, and Bridesmaids. She's been on numerous television shows, including some of my childhood favorites like MASH, Alice, One Day at a Time, Laverne and Shirley, and The Jeffersons, just to name a few. Her resume spans an impressive acting career from 1971 up through present day, where she played the role of Charlie's mom on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I must confess, after looking over her IMDb profile, I'm a little awestruck and definitely honored to be interviewing her. Please welcome Lynn Stewart.
Oh, thank you. That was
so
just lovely. I'm impressed myself. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe all the TV shows that you were on that I used to watch as a kid. I'm like, oh my God, I used to love that show. So it's pretty cool to be talking with you right now.
Great.
Yeah. So tell me, how did you get into the world of acting? Is it something you always wanted to do when you were a little girl? Did you say, when I grow up, I want to be an actress? I mean, how did that all get started for you?
Well, I grew up in Los Angeles, and I was in Norwalk, California, going to school, like the first and second grade. And we didn't do anything like connected to reading or writing. We visited fire stations and made peanut butter and stuff like that. So then we moved to Beverly Hills, where the kids were already reading and writing, and it was very advanced. And I was put back a grade, and I still was having problems. But it was good because I was so tiny. I was very short, so nobody could tell that I was put back a grade. And I started, there was a wonderful teacher, Miss Sevenens, who came around to the classes and help people read, and she said, you have a lot of expression, you know, you're going to be an actress someday. And that made me feel so good, because I was behind. And then we did a play, and I played Christmas Joy, and I introduced the spirit of Christmases from other countries to Santa Claus. And I thought, This is so much fun. And it was very similar to Miss Yvonne, because I was kind of the hostess at the playhouse. And I even had wings. And so it was just amazing to be Christmas Joy. And I thought, this is what I want to do. I want to be on stage, and I want to introduce people. So that was my first acting experience, having so much fun. And then when I was in high school, I went to Beverly Hills High School. There was a park a couple of blocks away from the school, and there was a teacher, Rose Jane Landau, and she taught improv. And my classmates were like Richard Dreyfuss, and Rob Reiner did a play over there. And so it was so exciting, and it was also, I've never been afraid of improv because I grew up with it. I mean, I can understand other actors saying, this is so scary, I can't just make it up, go on stage and make stuff up. I can understand their fear, but I don't have it because I was raised with it. And so from there, from that great background of improv, later on, I was involved after college with the company theater, which was great because I went back living at home, and it was only the company theater was just two blocks away from my parents, so I would just walk over, and I got more improv education. And then there was then I had Harvey Lembeck's improv class when I was in my 20s, and we had people in the class like John Ritter, and we had Robin Williams, and Mary Kay Place was in the class. We had wonderful, wonderful actors, and a lot of them were on series at the time. And then I went to the Groundlings, and then that truly was and is my spiritual home. I still go back and do shows there, and that's where the Pee Wee Herman show was formulated. We went in the back room and improvised little scenes, and then we did a show at midnight at the Groundling Theater, and then it got moved to the Roxy, and then CBS decided to make a TV series, and we did the TV series for 5 years, and then 2010 we went to Broadway and did it on Broadway for three months, to the holiday season on Broadway, and that was really something, going back and doing a character, the same character that you did 30 years ago, but everybody was so, I was like, oh my God, the reviews are going to kill me. You know, who does she think she is? But they didn't. Everybody was so wonderful, and there were like 40-year-old men in tears, and their mothers in their 60s, my age, and everybody was jumping up and down like children because these women had sat with their sons and daughters and watched the show when they were little kids. So it was like being able to relive history, and people would say, I didn't know, because the Broadway stage is so big and everything, and I came through the door. People didn't know, people in the back said, I didn't know whether it was you or not until you opened your mouth. And so then it was great because I felt that about the kids. I felt that as a kid about the TV shows. Like, we had Engineer Bill and we had Sheriff John out here in California. And I just loved the children's shows that I grew up on. And so I knew what they were feeling because it was their life. It was what they did. They came home from school and the Pee Wee show was on Saturday, but I came home from school and watched Engineer Bill and Sheriff John. And so I understand how important that is to connect with your past.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you've got quite a past. I mean, looking over your career, it's amazing just running through your IMDb. I was just like, oh my God, like, I'm going to be talking to this lady. You know, how have you, and today, before this call, you were, you know, going on an audition, you know, you're still active and you're still doing it. And you've had so many roles through the years. What do you attribute
to?
You're just always
very,
out there.
I'm very lucky. And a lot of it is, I owe to the Groundlings, because the Groundlings, we did characters and also we learned how to do the character of ourself. Like in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, those guys improvise so much, and I can improvise with them because of, you know, being a long time in the saddle, an improviser, and sometimes they just write, the boys come in to Mrs. Kelly's house, and then I have to fill it. Oh, do you want some cookies? Do you want to, oh, sit down. You know, does anybody want any water or something to do? I mean, they leave it up to me to fill in, the boys come into the house, and that's that's because I can do it, and that's because of the training at the Groundlings. And a lot of the times they improvise, and one of the keys to improvisational comedy is listening and keeping calm. And so I just listen to the boys, and then when they stop talking, then I can add my line or a plot point to move the scene along. So I really benefited so much from the Groundlings. And wonderful thing about the Groundlings, and if you write, you can be like, I can be a belly dancer. You know, I just had to write my, I would play this belly dancer, Madeline Fitouche. You know, hello, how are you? and like, nobody's going to hire me as a belly dancer. You know, I have red hair. You know, I'm Irish. but with the wig and everything, I could be somebody else. And that's the joy and fun of improv, is that you can be, if you can write yourself a piece, you can be anybody you want. Like, I'm attractive, but I'm not the most beautiful woman in Puppet Land. But you know, well, I guess I am. I'm the only woman in Puppet Land. But I mean, Paul could have picked somebody who was classically beautiful, which I'm not. But he picked me, who was a friend who played the prom queen type. You know, I played her, but when I did Miss Yvonne, I wasn't young. I was already like 40, and I would be Miss Yvonne, and then I'd go out for commercial interviews, and there'd be, you know, other actresses in my same category who'd already, you know, feel like older and depressed and in moo-moos, and I went, well, I'm here right now, but soon I will be the most beautiful woman in Puppet Land. So it was really fun to be able to play Miss Yvonne, and also it gave me a chance to do things that I loved and believed in, like Paul couldn't go out on the road on the weekends because he was, you know, writer, director, star. But I could. I could go, you know, I like fly to Columbus, Ohio, and do a stint for children's literacy. I did so much to fight AIDS during that time of the show, and it was. I loved it. I mean, I wore my Miss Yvonne costume. I went into hospitals, and that's what I wanted to do. I mean, when I was a little girl, well, other little girls wanted to get married. I wanted to do charity events. And I remember reading Photoplay, and Sandra Dee was doing a charity event. I went, oh, I want to be Sandra Dee. I want to do a charity event. So I definitely got my wish, I had a ball. I had a ball during that time going out on the road and being able to make a difference in causes that I loved. So it was very, very... Oh, and Paul, you know, he plays this down. He doesn't talk about it in interviews, but he did so much for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. You know, we had a little girl, Angela, and a little boy, Danny, and we were so close to their families, and we spoke at their memorial, and Danny was buried with a peewee doll, and Angela was buried in Miss Yvonne's jewelry. So we were a huge part of their lives and their families' lives up until when they passed. And, and they're, you know, Angela and Danny will always be a part of me, you know, just like I was a part of them during that time.
Oh! And you have something new, too. A new shell.
Oh, yeah. Captain Carl gave it to me.
Oh. Captain Carl. Was the captain here today?
Yeah,
Yeah, but he had to go. He had a date.
A date? I mean... A date? Pee-wee, are you sure?
No, it wasn't a date. She had an engagement.
It's pretty. Prettier than me?
You don't understand, Mrs. Vaughn. Captain Carl had a fishing engagement. He's probably just out at the pier fishing, that's all.
Is that all? Thank you, lucky stars. Pee-wee, can you keep a secret?
Can I? I love secrets.
I have a secret wish.
Well, what is it?
That Captain Carl would like me.
But he does like you.
No. I mean really like me.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe if we both wish very, very hard, my secret wish will come true.
Okay, what do we do?
Hold your hands like this. Close your eyes very, very tight. I wish on my secret star, on special planets, Venus, Mars, that Captain Caro would like me so and think I'm beautiful from head to toe.
Bonjour, mes amis.
Now you remember it's a secret, okay?
Okay.
Cross your heart.
Okay.
We'll be right back. I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
And we're back on the record.
I want to talk a little bit about improv because that always fascinates me. And I didn't know that a lot of the show, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, is kind of improv. How do you go about learning? Because that to me sounds like totally scary, like being able to like think on the fly and staying calm and, you know, not like, oh my God, what am I going to, like, I even sometimes get like, what's the next question I'm going to ask my guest, you know? So I could probably never do improv, but how does one get trained to do that? Like, what's involved with that?
Well, in L.A., I mean, I don't know about, you know, Austin. I don't know about the groups in Austin, but there's quite a few good groups here. There's the Groundlings. There's the Upright Citizens Brigade. There's Second City. So there's a lot of places in L.A., and I'm sure there's places in Austin where you can go that offer improv. And you just study. You go to the class, and I can give you a couple of little rules. Would you like to hear the rules?
Yeah,
of improv?
Sure. Let's hear the rules.
Well, one of them is, if you have a partner and you're doing a scene, don't deny. And this is so important. Like if you come in and you say, here are some flowers, and you hand your partner some imaginary flowers, and your partner says, those aren't flowers. Those are a toy truck. That's a toy truck. Well, that's denying in the scene, and you're left with egg on your face. You don't know what to do. Because you have brought your partner flowers. So you never deny. If somebody comes in and says, here's my cat, you go, oh, my gosh, that's the most beautiful cat I've ever seen. Let's give it some milk. And so that's the number one rule for me is don't deny. And another rule in improv is add information. Like if somebody, it's like what I just said about the cat, and then the other person said, let's give it some milk. So that's mm-hmm. how you build a scene. You keep on adding information, and you keep it positive. Like you don't say, oh, your cat's starting to die, you know, because that's not funny.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And that doesn't add good information to the scene. And to listen. To really, and that's a hard thing to do sometimes, is to just calm your brain and listen to your partner. Like, what is your partner talking about? What are they saying? And if you're nervous and excited, then your brain turns off and you don't hear what your partner is saying. So that's very important, to just calm your brain and listen to what your partner is saying and add information. And funny will come. I mean, don't try and, you know, in the middle of an improv scene, you know, throw in jokes that you heard on TV last night. You know, the most important thing is to build the scene and to work with your partner. And it's tons of fun. I mean, and it's also fun for people who just want to, that don't want to go on in improv, but just want to improve themselves, like in public speaking or socially, in social situations. And so I would suggest to anybody who's at all interested, just go take a class and test it out and see if it's something that'll bring you pleasure. It's always brought me pleasure. And sometimes if I'm not in an improv class, I start getting depressed. And I think, well, why am I depressed? And then I'll go to the improv class and I'll get to play an old lady or a Russian woman. Well, I am kind of an old lady. A real old lady, like, hello, how are you? You know, or a Russian lady, so happy to see you. You know, so, and that fulfills me. That adds to me. And so then I think, well, that's why I've been depressed, because I haven't had that outlet, you know, and I always want to improvise. I don't want to, okay, today's the day I stop improvising, because that's the day I start getting depressed. So it's part of me, and I would recommend it for anybody to just go take a class, try it out, and see if it's for you.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be something, like you said, that would be really great for just anybody to improve, like personal development. It's probably like a really scary but joyful form of personal development, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a technique that you use to quiet your mind in those moments? Is there something you do, or do you like meditate beforehand, or you have to like burn some incense, you know, sacrifice a goat?
Well, there's a actor, Michael McDonald, who was on Mad TV, and I've worked with him many times at the Groundlings, and he's a genius at taking his time and really listening. And so I learned from watching him, and it's just not talking too fast in it. In an improv scene. I'm talking too fast now because I had 3 cups of coffee. but I just remembering that in the scene to listen to your partner, and when you're really really listening to someone, you're naturally you're slowing down. You have to slow down, because if you speed up, you're not going to hear what the other person is saying when you stop talking, because you're, you know, so I don't have a technique. It's just doing it for a really, really long time. And my teacher now, Bill Steinkellner, he doesn't care if a scene is funny. All he wants is people to slow down and listen to each other, and funny comes. So it's just practice, slowing yourself down and listening to the other person.
Yeah. And do you carry that over into everyday life?
I try to, you know, to listen to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I try to.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that seems like, you know, that's another that I got to enroll in an improv class. It sounds like, you know, fabulous. Because that's a friend of mine always talks about how God gave you two ears and one mouth. Use them appropriately, you know. And
I like that.
Yeah. Listen more, speak less, you know. Or so that's great. You'd mentioned you went to college. What did you study in college? Were you strictly theater in there?
I did. LA City College here in Los Angeles. My friend Norton Wisdom calls it the University of Vermont and at Melrose because it's on Melrose, and it sounds so much classier than junior college, the University of Vermont at Melrose. But they have a wonderful 2-year program for actors, and
okay.
Cindy Williams, who's my best friend, was there when I was there. So we did scenes together, and we kind of grew up together. I mean, she's still my best friend, and so I would recommend. If you're interested in acting, to take it in college, because it opens you up. Like we studied Eugene O'Neill and Tennessee Williams. We studied the classics, and you'll always have that background of the classics. Mostly for when people talk about Tennessee Williams, you'll know exactly who they're talking about, and you can reference his plays, and also you've been in them. So I would say that it just helps you to go to school to act, because it gives you a background in the classics and working with other people, and you're going to meet people in college that you'll know for the rest of your life. That said, there are people that go from high school to Broadway and are doing just fine. I mean, going to school to learn to act is a path, but it's not the only path. But I'm so glad that I got an Associate of Arts degree from LA City College and learned the classics and learned some discipline about organizing your time to study for scenes and study for shows. So I really loved the time that I spent there.
Yeah. What's it like? Is there like a special technique, or is it maybe different for every person? But the thing that always fascinates me when I'm watching shows or movies or whatever, I'm thinking these people had to memorize these lines first, and then they have to like really portray and come across real. And like, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm getting too heady about it. But I'm thinking, like, I'd be losing my lines, and because I'd be thinking, oh, I got to act like this now, and I've got to pretend this. And I mean, I'm sure it just comes over time. But what's some things that they sort of teach you when you're first getting into about memorizing the lines and being authentic in your role?
That is a very good question. I think it's so important to really, really have your lines down. I mean, because you want to be in the moment when you're in a scene, and you can't be in the moment when you're grasping for lines. So I would say, first of all, learn your lines. And as far as doing characters, luckily, the characters that I have played, Charlie's mom in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is basically me. However, I didn't sleep with 15 Santa Clauses at Christmas time. But basically, she's my heightened, it's me. I mean, the writers know me. They know how I speak. And so I don't have to anytime think about a character, which is a blessing because I'm basically playing myself. And also, I was very lucky with Miss Yvonne. Miss Yvonne is very close to how I talk and how I act. So in, I guess, the two major things that I'm known for, I didn't have to think about characterization at all, ever. I mean, I really, really lucked out there. But if I'm doing like a Russian character, Russian dialect comes easy to me. I don't know why, but it does. And so I don't have to think of how am I sounding Russian? You know, because I feel it. I feel it in my heart. And of course, it's better if they get a real Russian. So I've been very lucky in my career that the stuff that I've done, I don't have to think about the characterization. However, memorizing isn't always easy, especially if you have to learn technical jargon because you don't speak that every day. And so you have to just over and over and over, you know, rehearse your lines. Like I remember when I did the Pee Wee show on Broadway, I would go through. We had weeks and weeks and weeks of rehearsal, but I would go through all my lines every single night with my dresser, Melissa, and she also was a wonderful actress, and so. And Jambi, the genie, John Paragon, was in the next room, and he was like, will you shut up? You know, he didn't want to hear me do my lines every single night. But I had to. I had to keep it fresh and keep it in my head. And so, and also I feel getting older, being in my 60s, I don't have the strong recall. I mean, I have recall, but it's easier when you're younger to remember things. You know, just naturally, it's just easier. So I go over my lines a lot, and I also live alone, so I'm not bothering anybody. You know, by going, you know, there's nobody in the next room saying, you know, will you fix dinner and will you shut up? You know? I can eat whenever. That's the joy of being single. You can eat whenever you want to, and you're not bothering anybody. So that makes me happy. But
nice.
That's what. But you know, I sometimes see people on TV, and I feel exactly. Even though I'm an actress, I feel exactly like you do. I watch them and go, how do they do that? You know, how do they remember all these lines? And they're talking so fast, and they're talking about controls. You know, how do they know all that? So
yeah.
I'm part of it, and I'm also in awe of it because mm-hmm. it's just amazing that they can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely, over the years, getting more and more of a really a deep respect for it because it's just like, wow, that's, I don't know that I could do that. You know, I'm a singer songwriter.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes getting up on stage, all of a sudden I'll go blank and forget lyrics to my song. It's a song that I could have been singing for like 20 years now, you know, and it's like, come on. So doing a whole show would be like, wow, because I thought about, oh, that'd be cool. Like I should maybe go on some auditions, which I wouldn't even know what to do if I went on an audition. But, you know, I've thought about delving into that world, but it really intimidates me. And I think the biggest thing is because I wouldn't be able to memorize my lines. I would like screw up my lines.
Well, I would give it a try. I mean, you know, there's plenty of people who are scared to death at doing exactly what you're doing, getting in front of a stage and singing and playing the guitar. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Talk a little bit about the audition process, because that seems like totally scary for me. Like, you know, because you're kind of like doing something on the spot. So it's almost like an improv, but you're reading at the same time, right?
Right. Well, I'm very fortunate now, because I've been around for so long, that I know a lot of the casting directors, and they request me if there's, you know, some crazy aunt or mother or grandmother or something, you know, they will have seen me in something and request me. So that's very lucky when that happens, because you're going in already light. But there mm-hmm. were years and years and years where that didn't happen. I mean, thank heavens for the Groundlings, because when we started doing the Pee Wee Herman show at the Roxy Theater, people would call me in because they had seen the show. And so that was a great calling card. But the most, I would say, for auditions is to go in with a positive attitude. And muster up confidence, you know, go in. And I had an acting teacher once who said, go into the room with the attitude of, watch me. I'm going to get to act for you. I don't get to act as much as I should. This is what I can do. Watch me. You know, go in with a positive attitude of showing them, hey, I can do this, and I'm going to show you that I can do this. And, also just basic things. Like, I have a very close friend named John Brace, who's a casting director. He casts Grey's Anatomy. And he said he had a lot. He doesn't mind touching the actors, but there's a lot of casting directors that don't want you hugging them or shaking their hands, because they're going to be seeing people all day, and you know, you could have a cold. Also, perfume. Don't go in to an, if you're a woman or a man with cologne, don't go in, because there's a lot of casting directors that are allergic to floral scents and to perfume. I mean, and I've even seen signs that say, you know, don't shake my hand, don't wear perfume. And just go in with a positive attitude. Don't totally memorize your sides, they're called sides, but have a working knowledge of them, and practice. You can even look in a mirror when to look down at your paper, and even if you have it memorized, still look down at your paper, because some casting directors, if you come in and they'll say, oh, that's all she can do. You know, she's had it memorized, that's her performance, that's all she can do. But if you come in and look down and work with them, and they say, well, you could try it a little angrier or a little happier or speed it up, you know, then you take directions from there, and you're working with them and your copy. Another thing is to look at everybody in the room. Especially for commercial auditions, because sometimes people will just look at the men in the room. There'll be a woman on a phone or looking down, but still look at her like she's going to look at you. You know, don't just swipe across the room and look at the man who's talking to you and giving directions, if it is a man. I mean, notice everybody in the room and acknowledge them, whether they acknowledge you or not. you know, that's up to them, but you be the one to smile and acknowledge them. And it gets easier, you know, it gets easier. It's auditioning is hard, and it's another place where you have to learn to calm yourself down, that you just don't go in the audition and go, hi, I'm so happy to be here. You know, you have to calm yourself down. And but right now, when I do get an audition, it's usually somebody who knows my work and has thought of me for this part. And so many times it's seeing an old friend who's been a casting director for many years, just like I've been an actress for many years. So that comes from being a long time in the saddle and just going out on auditions. And there's places in town here. The one is called Real Pros, and Real is R-E-E-L. And you go and you practice cold readings in front of casting directors. You know, you have to pay to do it, but it keeps you in the loop. It keeps you from not getting rusty about going out and reading in front of important people. So there are places in town that you can do that. You can be in front of casting directors and also keep your skills up.
Huh, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty ingenious business model,
yes.
You know? Wow. Awesome. You mentioned, like, sometimes if you're there and you're reading and they're like, can you try it this way or do it more angry or whatever, how do you, on the spot like that, tap into a different emotion or a different sort of feeling?
Well, that comes from improv. So because I've done improvisational comedy for so long, and I've played characters that are mad and crying and happy and stuff. So it just goes back to that skill. And also, people that haven't had any improv, it goes back to their theatrical training.
Hmm.
They can draw on when they were angry in a scene or angry in a show, in a play. But it's just a skill, and it's being a good actor to be able to give them what they want, an emotion that they want.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
And we're back on the record.
How have you adapted over the years with, you know, like ageism is a thing that happens, and, you know, you're once the, you know, the young pretty girl, and now you're the middle-aged playing the moms, and now you're playing the grandmas kind of thing. How do you, because you were, you know, talking about somebody else who was putting on the moo-moos and getting all depressed and whatnot, and you were like just going on and making up this character. So what are things that you've done to adapt over the years?
Well, I was always a character actress, and Missy Vaughn was me playing a beautiful woman. I had the I had V. Neal for makeup, who's won Emmys and Academy Awards. You know, I had the best customers, the best people doing the wigs. You know, I out of costume, I look like anybody else on the street. Like the grips that when I went to do the on the set for the Pee Wee Herman show, none of the guys paid any attention to me walking in to the studio. They didn't give me time of day. But when I was in the Miss Yvonne drag, you know, everybody wanted to help me walk because I had high heels and, you know, just with bending over backwards to help me. So I never had looks like, oh, isn't it sad her looks faded. I never had those kind of looks. So I was always a character actress, and I love playing grandmas. I love playing the crazy aunt, you know, and so I was playing older parts when I was 28 in improvs, and in college I was playing older parts. So luckily, I know it exists. I mean, I'm not, you know, I know ageism exists, but also I have something to offer. I'm an older woman who has improv skills and who's funny. You know, so I will work. You know, there's not as much work. I can't even say that. You know, I can't even say there's not as much work because there kind of is. You know, there's the work that I get. The money isn't like what it used to be, but the work is there. I mean, for low budget stuff and for webisodes and. So, and it's so much fun. Like there's this webisode that I did called Go-Go Boy Interrupted, and there was this young groundling who used to be a Go-Go Boy, and he wrote a script. You can see it. You can go online and see it. Go-Go Boy Interrupted, and we've already done a second season. Well, This was low budget, but I didn't need the first time around. We didn't get paid anything, and now the second season we got paid something. But nobody's doing it for the money. They're doing it because his name is Jimmy Fowley. You know, we all love Jimmy so much, and we're having so much fun. So, I love young people like the talent coming up at the Groundlings, and also it's a whole new era with internet and with YouTube. You can do something and put it on YouTube, and if it's good and people like it, you know, there's Groundlings that, like Idiot Sitter was a webisode, and now it's on Comedy Central. So there's so much more opportunity now than when I was a young actress, and it's all because of YouTube and the internet and getting your stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer to your question about ageism, I don't feel it. I mean, yes, it would be great to be younger and thinner and, you know, all that stuff. But as far as work is concerned, you know, the work is, somebody's got to play the crazy grandma or the crazy aunt, you know, and I love playing it. So I've been very lucky that I have worked at every stage of my career.
Yeah,
and as a character actress. And the first It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is the first time that I've looked like myself. I mean, and so it's the first time I've been recognized because I'm usually, you know, have crazy makeup or in a crazy wig or something. And it's really fun, you know, to go to a restaurant and having the waiter freak out. Like, are you Charlie's mother? You know, yes, I am. And it's not, you know, I feel sorry for people who are recognized all the time and they can't eat and they can't go out. But that that doesn't happen to me because I'm recognized just enough, you know. I mean, and every time somebody recognizes me, I'm thrilled and I start being a fan of theirs. Like this one woman recognized me at the airport and I started like following her around. I became her fan. I was so excited that she recognized me. So it doesn't happen too much. It's just wonderful when it does happen, and it brings people so much joy, you know, because it's a popular show, but it's still a cult show, and I'm a kind of a cult character on the show. So I'm so grateful to have that show, and so grateful to give people happiness when they freak out when they meet me. Usually waiters who want to be actors.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Talk a little, you've mentioned this a couple times, and I'm not really clear what it is. You said character actor.
Oh, character actor.
So there's like specific types of actors. I come more from the music side of things, music world, so I'm not familiar with the whole acting side. So.
Well, a character, well, there's like the ingenue, which is the, you know, beautiful young girl in a movie or a play, and then the character actor is like would play her grandmother or her aunt or a soothsayer. You know, that would be the character actor who's playing a part rather than the ingenue or the female lead. You know, so the character actor usually has a smaller part and usually has a much more fun part and comes in and out of the play or movie.
Yeah. And less stressful, it sounds like.
Yes, less stressful and more fun.
Less stuff to memorize.
And I definitely am a character actor.
Have you ever been in a role where because you're saying like a lot of the roles you take on are kind of just an extension of you. Have you ever taken on a role that really wasn't you and you really had to, at the end of the day when you go home, disassociate yourself from that because it felt maybe toxic or something?
No, I never have. I've never had to take on. I know it's hard for some actors, but I never have taken on a role that I felt was toxic. And usually my characters come from a joyous place. So I don't have to shake the character at the end of the day.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, because I was thinking like people who do like horror movies or even some like intense dramas and stuff like that. You know, because the mind doesn't know, subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between real and imagined. So,
right.
You know, I start thinking about that when I don't really watch horror shows, but as a kid I did. And I think back now and I'm like, wow, those people are going to be like damaged, you know?
Right. I understand. And I've read about actors that have taken on parts and that it's been very like Philip Seymour Hoffman when he did I was so happy to get his name right. I loved him so much. But when he played Willie Loman, I was reading an article that he had a terrible time shaking that character. So, yes, I'm very fortunate that I never had a character that made me really, really sad and depressed and screwed up with my mind. So
yeah.
I never had to deal with that.
Wow, yeah. Awesome.
Yes, the salesman. That's the play I was trying to think of, about that Philip Seymour Hoffman had such a terrible time shaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Lynn, I hate that our time is almost out, but it is. And I just would like for you to share some final words of wisdom with us.
Okay. My final words of wisdom are like very basic. I tend to go off in the clouds a lot, and just to keep notes, if you're going to see a casting director, and maybe the casting director's taking care of her elderly mother, write that down so the next time you can come in, you have frame of restaurant. I mean, frame of restaurant. You know where my mind is, lunch. You know, a frame of reference to talk to her, see how her mom's doing, see how his dogs are doing. When you're out there in the industry, make it personal, but make it real. I mean, listen to that casting director, and if they're talking about something like they're, you know, taking care of their mother, maybe you're taking care of your mother. Like, so many people, when they meet casting directors, they just, because they're nervous, they just do, you know, and my friend John Bray says he'll meet actors out socially and they won't know who he is at all. So he stopped saying hi to them. And I said, why do you think that actor didn't know you? And he says, it's because he's nervous when he comes into the office. I'm a blur to him. So make sure that people aren't blurs to you, and keep a notebook, and also keep a date book, and keep write down the times, and don't miss dates. It's important to keep the dates, to keep the luncheon dates with friends, and to keep manager time, and keep a date book, and know when your interviews are, and keep them. I mean, and I'm speaking this to myself as I speak it to everybody else. Just try and keep organized.
Well, folks, that wraps up another episode of On the Record. Tune in next week.